I am an advocate at heart. I entered this race because I really want us to have that type of presence in DC, someone who is going to advocate for us, for every person in this district, when no one else is looking, right? When it's not for show, but when it is absolutely about doing the work. I have worked very hard to get to where I am. It has not been an easy process. And I think that is what a lot of people in this district are experiencing. And so we need someone who understands what that is like. If there was a primary message, I think this pandemic has highlighted the importance of education and technology. It has highlighted the importance of technology and employment. And more than anything, it has highlighted the need for healthcare, for affordable and accessible healthcare.
I guess one of the big issues with healthcare right now has been the COVID-19 pandemic, something which cropped up. Well, it wasn't an issue when you first started running in the primary, but it's certainly an issue now. What will your priority be in Congress in addressing COVID-19, both the pandemic itself and I guess also the economic impact?
Once in office, the primary goal would be, if the HEROES Act hasn't been passed, we need to make sure that that's passed. That act provides for a lot of the issues as it relates to not only the pandemic, but the economic impact that this is having on us. So it provides additional funding for, you know, state and local municipalities and agencies. It provides funding for paid sick time, medical leave, for housing assistance for our farmers. It provides for testing. So we have a lot of things that are there that we need to have for our citizens. And so I think in terms of how that also affects the economy, we know that once our municipalities are functioning and they're funded, once our citizens have income, then those things also drive the economy and provides funding for our schools and our hospitals and other things. And so it's all connected, and we just have to make sure that we do our part and that we're holding the people in office accountable for that.
In 2021, hopefully there will be a vaccine or vaccines which have been developed. Is there anything that you want to make sure of, any priorities that you would want to set in Congress concerning any development on that front?
I think the most important thing is we have a society right now that doesn't trust our legislators. It doesn't trust the politicians. And so we have to make sure that we are being transparent, whatever that process is, who's doing the testing, how it's being developed, tracking who we use that vaccine on in any, you know, testing phase. And so I think it's vital that we do that in a very honest and transparent and ethical way. Unfortunately, instead of treating it as a health issue, we've allowed politicians to treat it as a political issue. We need to focus on humans and being healthy.
Wanted to ask you about the larger question. What was the big healthcare issue before the pandemic? And that's the availability of healthcare coverage. What do you want to do in Congress concerning healthcare?
One, we have to put out the first fire. That means right now this administration is trying to dismantle the Affordable Care Healthcare Act. We can't let people go without coverage. For this district, that means about 35,000 people would lose their healthcare coverage. At this time, that's not something that we need to have happen. People can't afford to do that. So we need to make sure that that isn't taken away from people. And then we need to expand it. If that expansion is Medicare for all, we need to do that, but we can't allow for people in the transition to lose the coverage that they have. The other thing that I've been hoping to do is to get federal funds for our district and get mobile medical units. I think that that would help give availability to more people in our area for a variety of healthcare. And I think it would be very beneficial to our district.
Voters in the 15th district decided in the March primary that whoever wins in November will be a woman. In fact, as far as I can tell, the first woman to represent this part of Illinois in the House of Representatives. Is this significant? I mean, what does this mean that voters have made these choices?
Oh, I believe that is absolutely significant. But we also want to be sure that we don't do it just as a symbolic gesture. So we don't want to just elect someone because they're a woman. We want to make sure that we're electing someone with proven leadership, proven advocacy, proven work ethic, right? We want to make sure that we're representing this district with someone who's qualified and ready to do the job.
The 15th District is a largely rural part of Illinois. Are there particular needs in the district for that rural and agricultural area that you want to address in Congress?
Given the way that our district is constructed, given the amount of income and economic challenges that we face, our district suffers, especially when it comes to education. Because we have smaller districts and smaller populations in some of those areas, the schools aren't prepared. They don't have the funding to make the transition and be prepared to reopen as they need to this fall. Not every district has the resources to provide their students with devices and the technology and the broadband that is needed. And so we need to make sure that the money for broadband, that those things are given to our district and put into practice. We need to make sure that jobs are here. And even if those are by remote opportunities, but again, people can't take advantage of that if they don't have access to broadband. And so we need to make sure the infrastructure is developed here. And then again, we have to make sure that people have health care. We just have to. There's no way to expect people to perform at work, to perform for their families, if they're not healthy and they're not independent.
In the wake of the police killing of George Floyd, there have been nationwide protests, including in some 15th district communities. Do you see a need for a change in policing in the country, and what role should Congress play in any such change?
Collectively, I believe that people understand that there is something that needs to change. The problem happens when we argue about why those things are happening. And so we know that there are disparities in how people are treated, and it shouldn't happen. I wouldn't want it to happen to me. I don't want it to happen to someone else. If we think of it that way, yes, we can reimagine how we do things. Our police departments need to have additional training. There should be specialized groups for how we respond to mental health issues. Our court system could definitely, collectively, we could invest into more diversion programs for people who have drug issues or people with mental health issues. We could invest into social services. And so I believe that if we did that, we could definitely see a difference in the engagement between our law enforcement and our communities. If we implemented a day of community service instead of working our police officers overtime, if we gave them that time to just take one day to engage in community service, paid community service time with, you know, their communities, look at what a difference that could make. Here, you know, Kwame Raoul, our attorney general, wants to implement a licensing process. That's not a bad thing, to offer our law enforcement guided training and continuing education classes that helps them to also stay up to date on the changes that are happening. And so I think if we did those things, it rebuilds the relationship, which thus changes some of the things that we're suffering with across the country.
And Erica, is there another issue that I haven't touched on that's important to you that you'll want to pursue if you're elected to the House?
I think it's probably one of the intangibles, and that is restoring some level of decency and decorum to the way that elected officials conduct business, not just in how they conduct business amongst themselves, but how we conduct it in the general public. I am highly disappointed in what I see. I am disheartened at what my children have to see. I am devastated at the impact that it is having on our society as a whole. I want us to have an opportunity to have a respected and trusted, ethical and transparent leadership for this country. And that's not what I believe that we have right now. And so that's what I would want to work on. I would want to work on engaging in civil discourse across the aisle. We can disagree, but we can do so in a respectable fashion. And that's what I would like to have us restore back to politics.